Welcome to Wood with Handles, a baseball podcast for fans by fans. This is episode 25 for the week of September 30th. I'm Ryan.
I'm Brad.
We've got a little bit to get into, so we're just going to jump right into it. The regular season is now done. Game 163 is over and in the books. The Rays versus the Rangers played last night, and the Rays won 5-2 in pretty convincing fashion. Did you see any of this, Brad?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. All I know is when I was watching the highlights, I don't know what Ron Washington was thinking with some of his base running duties.
Yeah, I take back every good thing I said about Ron Washington last week. He's an idiot. I mean, he had two players get picked off, just sloppy base running, sloppy yep. coaching.
And
what it boils down to me is that Ron Washington is not a good big game manager. He can't seem to get it done. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I can't figure out what it is. I mean, he keeps his team there together through the season, but as it goes on, he gets into the big games, they just seem to shut down. So David Price was phenomenal. He got a 5-2 complete game win. And that was really good for him considering his history against Texas in Texas. Lifetime in Texas, he was 1-2. With an ERA over 10, and he allowed 19 earned runs on 25 hits. Andy Boff, one of our listeners, and our cousin actually made a good point. Most of those were probably against the Rangers when they had a healthy Nelson Cruz. There was Hamilton, Napoli, but that was a different team. But I guess different team, different year, same result for the Rangers.
Yeah, I have to agree. Seems like early in the year they cruised till about September. And then during September, they just seem to fall apart. Yeah, Nelson Cruz was out, and he's probably good for maybe alone one or two wins. But 2 years in a row, you fall apart like that. I mean, I think something has to be done with Washington as far as managing, because he just cannot get his teams to the past that game 163. It seems like.
Yeah, I think his career is pretty much sealed in Texas. That kind of proved it last night. I mean, I don't know. This is all speculation on my part, but he just hasn't gotten it done. He can't seem to figure out how to get it done. And when things like this happen and your team seem to have those late season collapses, somebody's going to pay. And ultimately, I think it's going to be the coach of the team. Shitty as it may be for him, but it's going to happen. But like you said, last night was kind of a microcosm of the way he's coached in big games and the way he
Correct.
Is. But the one thing it did do is it did set the wild cards up completely now. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh will play tonight. The game is in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh this year is currently 11-8 against Cincy. And Pittsburgh is also 50-31 at home. So how do you see this one going?
I like Pittsburgh. That whole stadium, I'm watching MLB tonight as we speak, and that whole stadium is filled. I mean, there is a lot of energy there, and I cannot see Pittsburgh losing tonight unless Cincinnati plays a phenomenal game. Now I think Aromas Chapman, the Cincy closer, may have to go a little longer if they do have a lead.
Yeah, they were just talking about that you might see Chapman go a few more innings, more than one inning.
Yeah, they're talking like three, which would be a long time for a reliever. I mean, two innings is a lot. Sometimes even four outs is a lot, but three innings, that's really stretching him out.
Yeah, if you like pitching, you're going to have a hell of a duel tonight. I mean, you've got Francisco Liriano against, Johnny Cueto. Johnny Cueto is recently, he's only through 60 innings this year, so he's fresh. He hasn't made that many starts this year, so I don't know if I would give him the upper hand, but it's going to be a hell of a matchup because Liriano has been just lights out in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been really, really good at home. And they've been really good against Cincinnati. So I'm nervous as hell because I really like Pittsburgh, and I hope these one-game playoff things just make me so nervous.
Yeah.
I'm giddy. I'm anxious. I can't wait for this thing to get going.
I can't wait to watch it, too, because mainly it's Pittsburgh. They haven't been there in a while. And I'm interested to see how Johnny Cueto comes out. I mean, he has electric stuff, but he could be like Verlander was in the All-Star game a few years ago and just throw out as hard as he can and not be in control in a – Pittsburgh takes advantage of that. It was going to be very difficult for Cincinnati to make some kind of comeback at a PNC Park that looks to be pretty energized right now.
Yeah, I think Liriano is probably going to win one of the Comeback Player of the Year awards. He's been one of the better stories in the league this year. But if it were me, regardless of how many games you played in, how many big games you played in, there's going to be a little bit of nerves. So I'm assuming the first couple innings are going to be shaky for both pitchers, especially for Pittsburgh, just knowing they haven't been there and that stadium's going to be electric. It's going to be rocking because that's literally all they've got right now. The Steelers are sucking ass. So that's all they've got to look forward to. And it's going to be a hell of a matchup tonight. And I'm anxious, but I'm giddy. I'm excited, but I'm anxious as hell for Pittsburgh because even though I think Pittsburgh's going to win, Cincinnati is just one of those teams you can never count out.
Nope.
And they're a good team. They're a good team to fight through that division. So it's going to be a tough battle tonight. I'm anxious to see how this goes. But the other playoff or the other wild card game, which will be tomorrow, is going to be Tampa Bay and Cleveland. Like you said, Tampa Bay won that play-in game last night. Cleveland clinched the other day. They've had a couple days rest, and I think that right now this benefits Tampa Bay a little bit more. They're not going to be they haven't had as much weight or as much of a rest. One day actually, and Cleveland's been off for, I think it'll be 2 or 3 days now.
Yeah.
And, Tampa Bay is playing lights out right now. Evan Longoria was on fire last night. I think he had 3 hits.
Yeah, they had a stat on him about his statistics in end regular season games. He's like, I want to say, they said something like 15 for 21 or something like that.
Yeah, he's unbelievable in playoff games, and, I would go right now, just favoring Tampa Bay just because Cleveland won their last 10 games to seal that spot, but, Tampa Bay.
They didn't play anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Tampa Bay is playoff tested. They've been there before. Yes, Francona is the manager in Cleveland, and you never want to count out Francona because he has a really good record in the playoffs. Obviously, you saw what he did with Baltimore, but at the same time, or not Baltimore, but, Boston. But at the same time, he has a very young and experienced team going into this. You know they're going to be nervous. And I just think that altogether, Tampa Bay's pitching is just more solid. And they just, if Evan Longoria is leading that team, Tampa Bay is going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, the only thing with Cleveland is they are home, so that will help them quite a bit. But I think they're one of those teams where it's like, we exceed expectations and it's just going to be happy to be there. And they're playing with house money right now. But I do like your pick with the Rays. I think they will. I think they're gonna beat Cleveland, not handedly, but I think it'll be a pretty good game. I think they'll be more of like a 5-3, 4-1 type game because Tampa Bay has pretty much been playing in playoffs the last 10 games, so they pretty much know what they're doing at this point.
Yeah, look, I've got to give it up to Tampa Bay. I thought that they'd flame out pretty hard because essentially every game they've been playing is meaningful and. Cleveland hasn't played that tough a schedule. They have played good teams, and I've got to give up to Cleveland too. They've won those games. They've won when they had it to. Granted that they haven't played a lot of tough teams, but I thought that Tampa Bay would be a little tired right now because every game they played has essentially been life or death.
Yeah, and, it does take its toll on you mentally.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I said, they're playoff tested. They have Evan Longoria. They've got a good pitching staff, so they're definitely going to. They're definitely going to be a team to be reckoned with. I think that Tampa Bay wins the game. So that's my pick. I'm just throwing it out there. I think that Francona will have Cleveland in a mindset where they're just not happy to be there. They need to go farther. He'll have them ready to go. Mm-hmm. But all in all, I just think Tampa Bay is going to be too much for Cleveland.
Yeah, I can almost see Tampa Bay using David Price even for 1 or 2 innings if they have to in this one game format, but then again, they might not because they don't want to flame them out if they do win.
Yeah, that's the thing. They've got to be careful. If it's life or death, they might use him, but I think they'll definitely. You won't see Price again because he threw. I think it was almost 120 pitches yesterday.
Yeah.
So he's gonna be down for a couple of days. But
right.
The winner of that game will go on to take on the Red Sox. So here's the playoff picture for the NL and the AL. The winner of the Cincinnati Pittsburgh game tonight will play. St. Louis, which is just a division showdown, it's going to be a hell of a series. And then the other series is going to be really good too, which is going to be the Dodgers versus Braves. St. Louis has home field advantage throughout the playoffs now, so whoever goes to the World Series in the NL is going to have to go through St. Louis. I said it last week, I don't think that the Braves have enough to even make it out of the first round. I think they're going to be the best team to get beat in the first round.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I like the Dodgers' chances a lot against the Braves. I think the Dodgers have got a very good pitching staff. The roster is obviously talented from start to bottom. So I think that the Dodgers will definitely beat the Braves. And I don't think it'll be a sweep like Josh previously predicted, but I think that the Dodgers will beat the Braves in probably 3 games or so. And then as far as I think that Pittsburgh stands the best chance at beating St. Louis because they're 10-9 against St. Louis this year. It's been, they've had good success against St. Louis. So what do you see? How do you see the NL shaping up?
I do like your pick with the Dodgers versus Braves. I would go with that. I mean, Atlanta was on cruise control then. I think having such a hot start and being so far ahead in their division, they kind of lost focus near in middle of August, late September, and that's what caused
Yeah, but they did have that streak in the middle of the season where they won like 16 games straight or something like that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't mean to interrupt you, but here's the thing that's with okay. the Braves. When they're not hitting home runs, they're not manufacturing runs, they're not scoring runs. So when there's a power outage, they're not as good of a ball team. And the Dodgers have talented hitting from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Clayton Kershaw. They've got, I can't forget the guy's name, but they've definitely got a talented pitching staff. So I think that the Dodgers are going to be too much for the Braves.
I agree with you there.
And, I think Pittsburgh can beat St. Louis, but I think St. Louis, there's something about them in the playoffs. They just seem to put it all together.
Yes.
They've got Wainwright going in game one, so it's definitely going to be a good fit for them. Everybody's seemingly healthy. And then I think the only team that I think would be able to beat the Dodgers would be St. Louis. So I think if those teams end up in the NLCS, you're going to see a hell of a series. Because those teams,
that'd be a good one.
You've got the Hollywood roster, and then you've got just the gritty, hell of a pitching staff, playoff tested St. Louis Cardinals who have been there. They've done that. Matt Matheny's a hell of a coach. That's going to be interesting to see how that is. But I think that right now, I know I picked the Dodgers to go to the World Series, but I don't know. It's so tough to me to say. If I had to back against the wall, money on the table, I would have to pick St. Louis over the Dodgers.
I would go with that too. St. Louis has more, like I said, the more postseason experience. And in St. Louis, with that home field advantage, it's going to be a lot colder. And I think that may affect the Dodgers a little bit. But then again, the travel to Los Angeles might affect St. Louis, but I can see St. Louis winning that series versus the Dodgers in six.
Do you think that Matt Kemp being shut down is going to have any effect on the Dodgers at all?
No, he didn't play much for them this year, and they did just fine. And I don't think that's going to really affect him at all.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are going to have to play. They're going to have to come up big time. I mean, like I said, I think they're going to beat the Braves. I don't think the Braves are all that great.
No.
Their pitching definitely isn't all that great, and the Dodgers can hit the ball all around the field. You see Puig as a home run threat at any time. And they've definitely got other players. But right now, I just think that Pittsburgh is going to get by St. Louis tonight, or Cincinnati tonight, and I think they'll face St. Louis. I think St. Louis will ultimately beat Pittsburgh, and then the Dodgers will beat the Braves, and then the Dodgers and St. Louis, and right now I'd have to pick St. Louis. So that's just my pick. And then over in the AL, the matchups are going to be either the Rays or the Indians against the Red Sox, and then the Tigers versus the A's.
I'm looking at I can see the Rays. Like you said, I picked the Rays to win tonight, and I'm going to stick with them. And I can just see the Red Sox I think they'll beat the Rays in five, because I think that burnout, like you said about the Rays, playing essentially playoff baseball for the past month or so, is going to come back to hurt them. I don't think the Red Sox will sweep the Rays because the Rays are just that much of a team, and Joe Maddon's a good manager. He'll have them playing at a high level, but sooner or later, how much mentally can you take playing big game after big game?
Well, essentially, they'll have, if they win, they play tomorrow, so if they win tomorrow, they will have essentially played two playoff games in the matter of 3 days, and then they'll have another day's rest, and then they'll start up their series on Friday with the Red Sox, if they win. So they're definitely going to be, coming off some adrenaline, and it's going to be a long couple of days for them. But what about the Tigers and A's?
Well, that one's hard to pick. I think the Tigers will go to the World Series. I'm going to stick with them. But they have really got to have good starting pitching versus the A's, and they just have to hit. Because when they don't hit, they don't score runs, and they haven't manufactured runs good this year. And I think they have enough firepower to beat the A's. But still, I worry that Miguel Cabrera he's not healthy, and he's not going to be. And sometimes some of the lineups Leland puts out there is just a little intriguing to me, but I do think they will beat the A's, and I think it'll be another five-game series like it was last year.
Let me ask you this, and I don't want to make a big deal out of it, because I don't think it's a big deal, but do you put any stock to that no-hitter that Henderson Alvarez had against the Tigers the other day? You think it's
I don't really? I don't think it's a good way to end the season for the Tigers. I mean, yeah, I know you're not playing your regulars, and you did for maybe like five innings, but it's not a good way to end the season, especially wasting a good Justin Verlander performance.
Yeah,
I definitely like to go into the postseason winning.
I'll hit on that in a second, but I think that the Rays, like I said, the Rays will beat Cleveland, and I think that poses an interesting matchup. I thought the Red Sox would probably beat them. I think the Red Sox will beat them, but I think it's going to be a tough 6 or 7 game series. The Rays are going to stay around. Joe Maddon's going to have them ready to go. There is going to be a little exhaustion. They're going to be tired, but I definitely think that they're going to be there. They're going to be ready to go. And they're going to be playing in colder weather like it is in Boston. But, there's something about the Rays that I just like right now. Once it gets to be playoff time, they're always a tough team. They have a lot of talent on their team. So they're there. The Tigers versus A's, I think the Tigers ultimately win it. And I don't want to say they're going to sweep them, but I think they'll probably win it in five. I like the Tigers' chances against the A's a lot, although I think the A's could creep up. The A's have been really hot. They've had quite a while off now. And I don't put much stock into that no-hitter the other day. I think essentially they just laid down. They were ready to be done. They had already wrapped up the division. And against the Marlins, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. But I think the Tigers will definitely beat the A's in five. I think the Tigers have a better all-around better pitching staff. I just hope that the bats don't go silent for Detroit, because if they do, that could be a huge problem.
Yeah, they can't manufacture runs, but you know, I still think they might have that being no hit in the back of their head, but this is a whole new season now, so hopefully they'll have put it behind them and they'll be ready to play.
Well, yeah, and it's the second season now, so, and Josh talked about it a little bit on last week's podcast. The Tigers are like the Miami Heat. The Tigers can essentially flip a switch, and when they want to be good, they can be really good.
Yeah.
It's all about when they want to do it. And hopefully they decide that they want to come out and play. They don't want to take any bullshit. They don't want to make this thing go on any longer, because that's kind of how the season's gone. They could have put it, you always felt like they could have put it away earlier in the season, and they just didn't. And maybe it seemed like they're a little lackluster and uninspired at times. But I think when everything's ready and said and done, that Leland's going to have them ready to go. There's going to be some urgency within the Tigers lineup, because they know they've got to be, it's got to be World Series or bust right now, the way that roster is built. People in Detroit, I know, I can tell you, are getting a little impatient with this team. So I think they need to get results now, and if they don't, you're going to see a few changes in the offseason next season maybe. But I definitely think that you're going to see a Tigers-Red Sox ALDS, or ALCS, and that one, to be honest, is a toss-up to me. I can't pick it for the life of me right now.
I don't know who would win that one either. They both play each other pretty close during the regular season, so it's very difficult to pick. They both have similar pitching matchups. They both seem to score runs the same way. So that will be a good matchup, I think, for fans, if you like pitching and if you like hitting.
Yeah, I like the Tigers' rotation better than the Red Sox. And like I said, it all matters. It all kind of hinges on whether the Tigers decide that they want to hit and they want to score runs. So I think that one's a little too much for me to call right now. Give me another week and I'll let you know. I mean, as far as the playoff picture, that's how it's going to be. I think we just kind of run down. So there were a few other really quick notes that happened this week. Probably the biggest news came out, I believe it was yesterday, it dropped. Dale Steven from the Cubs was fired yesterday, which opens a lot of doors. There's been numerous rumors of Girardi, who is said to have wanted that job. A lot of people don't think he'll take it, but I've been rumored to connect with it. He played in Chicago. He has hometown roots in Chicago. I've heard a couple other names tossed, but it's definitely big news, because that Cubs job, well, they haven't been that great. You want to be that manager that leads them to the World Series and wins that first World Series in however long it's been.
Yeah, I didn't really take too much stock in that. Even though the Cubs job is always big and they always seem to get a big name manager, I think I'll wait and see what they do as far as who they hire and what they do in the off season, because they really didn't give Severin much to work with, although some of their younger players didn't develop like they thought, and he didn't manage the bullpen very well, and there were some spats with players and coaches in the clubhouse during the game. So I don't really take too much in that. It's, to me, it's typical Cubs over the past couple of years. So I'll wait and see on that one what happens with them before I put any stock in what the Cubs do in the offseason.
Yeah, Sivam and Theo were said to be kind of at odds with each other by the end of the year. So that one definitely didn't surprise me. I kind of saw this coming from a long ways away, but you kind of had the feeling that this was coming. And, yeah. I mean, Chicago fans are, I'm sure they're probably getting a little impatient with that team, but they need to bring in somebody who's going to give that team some life, whether it's Girardi. I don't think it will be, because I think Girardi will stay in New York, but they definitely need to bring in somebody that's going to get that team going and on the right direction. And you know that Theo Epstein is probably going to make a good choice because just given his track record, and Theo you trust. So I think that he knows what he's doing, and you just kind of have to put your faith in Theo's hands if you're a Cubs fan right now.
Yeah, because right now it's really not his team. I think he's still trying to wait and bring in some of his players.
Yep, kind of a couple of the real good feel-good stories that happened last week. It was kind of an end of an era for a lot of people, well, a couple people in general, but for fans it was probably an end of an era. A couple big names retired and left the game for us this week. Probably the most notable one is Mariano Rivera. You saw it the other day in the ninth inning of, I forget which game it was, but their last game at home. He was pulled by Derek Jeter and Andy Pettit. And you saw a very emotional moment between Mariano and Pettit and Jeter. If you didn't see it, basically what happened is there was two outs in the bottom of, in the ninth inning. Mariano was on the mound, and Derek Jeter and Andy Pettit were sent out to go and kind of let Mariano have his last walk, off the mound, greeted by fans. Jeter and Pettit stepped out to the mound, and then there was a long, tearful exchange between Pettit and Mariano. Really great moment, probably one of the best all year. And, you know, hats off to Mariano Rivera. We've said it enough times, but just a really nice, touching, heartwarming moment from Mariano Rivera, someone who you usually don't see a lot of emotion from. So it was good to see him be a little emotional, be a little human for once.
Yeah, I really like that, too. After Derek Jeter and Pettit, who have been with him pretty much throughout his tenure with the Yankees, got him out of there, then the whole team came out, and just, it was a really good sight to see him tipping his cap, all the fans going crazy, and you don't really see him cry, because usually he's just lights out, gets the job done, but it was good to see some emotion from him for once.
Yep, and then the other big one was Todd Helton, who had his last game in Colorado the other day, and kind of fittingly hit a home run in his last game at Coors Field in Colorado. He came out, they went out when the starting lineups were announced. He ran out. It didn't look like he knew what was going on, because he ran out, kind of stopped and looked around, and the whole team let him run out by himself. And he kind of stopped, looked around, realized that everybody was giving a standing O, and he took his kind of his last bow there. And then his very first at bat, he hit a home run, and then a curtain call for him after that. So another really, really cool thing to see.
Yeah, I always like seeing a player, position player, hit a home run, get a game-winning RBI, or a big hit, especially in his last game in front of his fans as home field.
Yeah, and I don't know if Colorado, I mean, they have Troy Tulowitzki right now, but I don't know if Colorado will ever have somebody who they kind of endear so much to, because Todd Helton was there from the beginning of the Rockies, really the Rockies franchise, and he's been there. He's seen that team through the whole anything. I mean, granted, he never won a World Series, but Todd Helton has kind of been their guy, the guy in Colorado. So that was really cool to see, especially to see him hit a home run in his very last game. And then really the last thing that we touched on just a little bit ago was the one other kind of, I guess, maybe not a big story, it might be depending on who you ask, but a side story, Henderson Alvarez's no-hitters versus the Tigers. This was an odd one, because what happened was essentially he threw a no-hitter through nine, but the Marlins just didn't score. The Marlins ended up winning the game in the bottom of the ninth with a walk-off wild pitch. So it was kind of a crazy ending. And like you said, just kind of give your take on it again, or what whatever you think.
You know, I take a lot of stock in that. I don't think you definitely want to lose your last regular season game getting no hit, especially to the Marlins, who really didn't have much to play for, and ruin a good performance by JV. And just not, even though the Tigers didn't have their lineup, their A-team lineup, I still would have liked to see him get a win, or at least put up some sort of effort. But it was kind of weird to see a walk-off wild pitch score a run and give him a no-hitter.
Yeah, I'm not going to put too much into this. I think a lot of people might be reading too much into it, but the Tigers were done. They basically shut it down for the year. Yeah, you never want to get no-hit, and you definitely don't want to get no-hit on the last game of the season, especially walking into the playoffs. But to be honest, I'm not going to put too much into it. I just hope that that's not a bigger sign of what's to come.
No, likewise.
Yep. Well, that's it for this week's show. Just like always, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Wood with Handles. And wherever you're listening to this at, whether it's YouTube, Stitcher, on iTunes, just feel free to give us a thumbs up, like us, give us a rating on iTunes. Any little feedback that you guys can give us really helps us in the long run. So we're always trying to improve the show for you. So please go on there and let us know what you think. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Brad.
Thanks for listening, guys.